T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And we welcome in one of the, really the people who's been here as long as anybody from the beginning and was the first voice ever, which we played just last week with Jeff Smullyan, who was here and did an interview with us, the guy who came up with the idea. Susan Waldman joins us, folks. Big hand for Susan. Susan, welcome. How are you?
Thank you. I'm great. I'm great. Wait, 30 years, huh?
30 years.
I know, huh? You were born. How many people were not born?
A lot. When I, a lot weren't. 30 years is a very long time. It's funny how you heard the Smullyan interview, which got a lot of play last week, and you know him talking about you and the first time you're on the air, the first couple of minutes of the station, and how it where it led the path with you, and then you going and blazing a path as a reporter for all those years, and all the halcyon days of the Yankees, and seeing the Yankees through some tough times, and now seeing the Yankees hopefully emerge again with some exciting young players. So it's come full circle.
It has come full circle. Did Jeff Smullyan tell you that he tried to fire me?
Yeah, he told me. They didn't say that. No, he said he wanted you moved to a different position.
They moved me to overnights, thinking I was going to quit, but I didn't. Steve Summers actually was doing overnights. They switched me and Eddie Coleman.
Right.
Eddie was doing overnights, and they put they put me after the baseball season on with Steve Summers, thinking I was going to quit. But I didn't. And then Steve Summers taught me actually how to do VOTs and all that stuff that I had no idea what a cart was. I had no idea what anything was.
Right, but nobody had to teach you how to be a reporter. And, and you obviously blazed a very interesting path, first with the Knicks and then, of course, with the Yankees. And the Yankees were just about to come out of that crazy era. And, you know, it's funny. I was thinking about when John was sitting here about the owners and the impact George had, obviously, on everything. I mean, in New York for such a long period of time, and it has left a little void. You know, it takes time for other people and personalities to step in. The void of Steinbrenner was one that's enormous to fill. I mean, just an enormous thing to fill.
I don't think you can ever fill that particular void, because he was proactive. Everybody else reacts to what's going on. And bigger than life.
Yes.
And he was the head of everything. He would have already thought of ways to fix what's going on.
And a national character, too.
Yes.
I mean, basically, you know, when they do skits about you on sitcoms, I mean, and nationally, I mean, he was a national figure. There's no question.
And he loved that. He loved them doing him on Seinfeld. He loved that Saturday Night Live thing where they made fun of him and he made fun of himself.
Oh, it's great. Hey, listen, if you're on there, you've made it. I mean, there's certain places where if they make fun of you, it's good. I mean, it shows you've made it. And he was that big. And, you know, and it's funny. We know he had his issues. We know he had his mistakes and his foils. But he also was a visionary in a lot of things. He saw a lot of things. He saw what free agency was going to mean. He understood box office, which was enormous. He understood entertainment value. I mean, he put Mike and the Mad Dog on TV. So he was the first sports simulcast. He was responsible for it. I mean, think of all the different things he did. He was really, he really impacted things dramatically in this town. It really did, even before fans started. So he was one of those first figures that was such a big figure when fans started.
Well, he had such a vision about things. He's responsible for my career, because in 1988, he had said to me, Waldman, I'm going to make a statement about women in sports one of these days. You're it, and I hope you can take it. And I went through a lot of bad times, but Mr. Steinbrenner, and he was very tough on me, screamed at me about stuff that I said on the air and what I should and shouldn't say, and we had terrible fights. He is as important to me in my life as my mother and my grandfather.
How about that? I mean, that's an amazing statement.
Yeah, that was a long time. That was because I used to chase him down the halls, and he used to think it was adorable. If you couldn't get into the elevator at the old Yankee Stadium if George was getting on the elevator. So I would run up the ramps, and he would, if I could beat him up to his office, he would talk to me. But other than that, he wouldn't. So, but he did that. He just put all kinds of
things in front of me. You know, it took the Yankees a while. Now, listen, they were coming off a great run with a great team that fit together like a glove. But they also had to overcome the loss of him, which was a very big thing that had to happen. It was going to take time to basically get past him leaving and him not being in those halls anymore.
Well, I think also the thing, besides, I used to call the Yankees the biggest mom-and-pop store in the world because he ran everything. You didn't do anything, but from getting a different kind of toilet paper to signing a free agent.
He had his hand on everything.
He had his hand on everything. But he cared so much. For example, and these nobody runs their team like this anymore. When George was there, there was not one penny that was distributed. Every penny the Yankees meant went back into the system, either getting a farm system or getting the camp in the Dominican. He did everything. He never took a penny out of that team because he was trying to build it. He didn't always have the right choices, but he knew that if you built it first is when the fans would come. You don't do it the other way around.
And also, you know, it's fun. We've watched the Yankees, you know, you think of the Yankees, you think of stars, and now you, as still doing the games every day with John, you've now seen some new stars emerge. And really, surprisingly, I mean, boom. I mean, you know, we saw Sanchez last year and all taken by that. And now this year with Judge, which has become, he's become like a rock star, Judge, in a very short amount of time.
And actually, he should be. But I don't think I've ever seen as big a change in a player from one year to the next as in Aaron Judge. Beginning of spring training, they weren't sure whether they were just going to send him back to AAA and give the job to Aaron Hicks. It really was, it came down to the last 10 days. And I don't think he knew how good he could be. He had no idea. And all of a sudden, all the things that he was working on over the winter they actually paid off, and he's something. He's
and he
the real deal.
But he also is something which, forget just the great all-around play and how good he is and coordinated for a big man. He is such a big man, but also he's got charisma. He also handles things very well. He clearly knows who he is. He kind of feels very comfortable in his skin. He's comfortable in front of the media. He's comfortable handling questions. I mean, for a young guy, that's very unusual.
He is very, very grounded. And I'll tell you a great story. We were in Toronto, and nobody hates the Yankees more than the Toronto Blue Jays press. I'll tell you, it's just been awful for years. And a guy from the Globe and Mail wrote an article about Judge, and evidently at the end of the article, Aaron Judge put his hand on the guy and said, I'm sorry, I've forgotten your name. What is it again? And the guy writes at the end, I don't, after all these years, I guess I can't hate the Yankees anymore, because he's that kind of person. You introduce yourself to him once and he knows your name forever.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to have him come up and have this happen so quickly, and now, and you know, he's going to be the star of the All-Star game. You know, he's going to be probably, I don't know if he's going, do we know if he's going to go to the Home Run Derby? What do you think?
Well, my guess is he'll probably go.
Sure baseball's going to want him to. And I asked Girardi yesterday to care. He said no. He says, I don't think he, you know, he doesn't have to pull the ball, hit it out of the park, which
no,
is helpful. So he's not going to change his swing. But, you know, that does put a lot of pressure on guys when they're in that. You know, everyone expects him to win.
Well, it does. But I think that they should just cancel it and have Aaron Judge and Cody Bellinger going at each other from the two different leagues.
How about these rookies now? It's amazing. And, you know, you're there every game. The two things, you're seeing an incredible amount of strikeouts, and you're seeing an incredible amount of long home runs. Incredibly, there's been more 450-foot home runs this year already than all last year.
But you know,
I mean, the ball is traveling an incredible, not just Judge, ball's traveling
everybody,
an incredible distance.
Everybody. And you know what, that, if you talk to pitching coaches, they'll tell you that the ball is now wound like a golf ball.
Must be. Must be.
But what the strikeouts and the home runs, it sort of changes the game, because there's all this dead time now in between somebody hitting a home run and somebody striking out. It changes how you play the game.
All right, let's talk about the fan for a minute before you go. I have to go to work.
Okay.
We're talking with Susan Wallman. It's 30 years. You've been here from the beginning. You know, when they write the legacy, which they've done many times, but they continue to do, you're going to be a big part of it. What's your thought now, 30 years after, with the fan?
Well, I was never actually surprised. Everybody asked me this. I was never surprised that it worked. Once it went to NBC and got IMIS, and once you guys got together, you had the two big things. And then you could sort of change what you wanted to do. I'm really proud that we were the first people to... I was the first electronic beat writer, female or male,
Absolutely.
Anywhere.
Absolutely.
And it was my idea, because I thought they were going to fire me. And I said, well, let me try and
it
do
changed
something.
It made a big difference in the industry, because we had immediacy, you could break stories 24 hours a day,
right,
which changed a lot of things.
It really did, because that's when the beat writers realized, oh, newspapers maybe are going the way of something else, and I'm never going to speak to her again. And they'd all be together, and I'd be by myself, because I could get something on at 2 o'clock in the morning.
That was
and
a
they
big
couldn't.
Help.
It's a big thing.
And
it's
that changed
thing.
Things dramatically, and you did such a great job. I mean, Susan Broke, for those of you who may not have been there those years, Susan Broke, so many stories day after. I mean, just so many stories through the years. You can't even count all of them. So that had an enormous impact on it. How about for you personally being part of this for 30 years?
It's really incredible. The beginnings weren't too good. I mean, the first couple of years were kind of ugly, actually, for women in this industry. I think my being...
What would you say to a young girl now, or young lady now, about breaking into the business?
Don't let anybody stop you. If you can look into the mirror and say, I've got something to contribute that nobody else can do, don't let somebody
Has it
tell
changed
you.
Enough where it's not? She's not going to deal with the things you had to deal with,
not,
or she, is
no.
she going to deal with it?
They'll be different. It's now illegal, but no,
but I mean,
it's still
is
there.
It still there?
Yeah.
It's,
mm-hmm.
is
of
it,
it's there.
But I mean, is it still? Is he going to have to deal with anyway what you dealt with, or is it not going to be nearly as bad?
I hope it's not nearly as bad, but you deal with the same kinds of things. It doesn't change. I talk to young broadcasters all the time in different markets, and the same things are going on. Same things are going on. It doesn't change. You know, and that's the thing about being a female. There's not a 17-year-old that male that doesn't think they know more than about the Yankees than do I. They don't, but it's just the way it is. I would like it to change a little faster. I mean, it's still just me in the radio booth. I'm still the only one.
Yeah, that's true, too. I mean, so, you know, fan has blazed a lot of paths. It's changed a lot of things in this country. I mean, and that's part of, you know, the upcoming 30 for 30. That's the idea of that what's fan changed and what our show changed, what you changed. I mean, blazed a lot of paths over the last 30 years.
Here's one thing that people don't remember about this. The 1989 earthquake in San Francisco really changed the way things were reported. I was in the upper deck, and for some reason, and there were no cell phones, I had a phone line, and for some reason, my phone and the guy next to me, Les Grobstein of Chicago, the Score, our phones didn't go out. And I was on the air. IMUS used to play it all the time. I've never been so scared in my life.
Oh, yeah, we've all heard it. Absolutely.
I was on the air when that earthquake hit, and I was describing everything that happened. It changed things because then, you know, people would tune in. I remember I was the one responsible of telling all the wives of all the beat reporters, we're all okay, he's here, we're all okay, we can't get to you. And we were on almost 24 hours. I was on with Summers all night talking to people. It was, and that changed things. That had never happened before.
Very interesting. I know you have to go head to the stadium, but thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Great.
My pleasure. Good to see you. Susan Wallman. Okay.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.